And the answer is you're not recapturing it. You're just because it takes you on a nice vacation and you have fun doesn't make him a good husband. Just because he pays the bills doesn't make him a good husband.
Yep.
And so I think we sort of get trapped.
Welcome to Love Stories, a relationship podcast for successful women, where we talk about love, dating, relationships, and how great love stories are made. Whether you're searching for the one, you're madly in love, or simply curious about romantic relationships, this podcast is for you. I'm Charlene Byers. Each week, you'll hear from women, couples, and experts, and all the ins and outs on how to create your own love story. I am so passionate about this subject, and I'm so excited to share all the things that you can apply to create a beautiful love story of your own. Cheers to great love.
Welcome back to Love Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Charlene Byers. Now I want to talk to you about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the most freeing thing that we can do for ourselves as a human being. When you forgive the people who hurt you, you have an opportunity to actually set yourself free from that bitterness that you've been holding on to. Forgiveness is for you. And when you forgive someone, that doesn't mean that you have to talk to them, take them back, or have them in your life. No. You actually get to release that energy that's been keeping you stuck. Because here's the thing, if you're single and you haven't forgiven your ex or your father or anyone who has hurt you, holding on to that anger will keep you from seeing when a good man is right in front of you. Don't allow that unforgiveness to have that hold on you. Forgive and move on and create a different path for yourself, realizing that that person cannot have that hold on you any longer. Free yourself. Let's talk about the tip of the week. How to avoid falling for a jerk. First, you got to slow down. It takes time to really get to know someone. And when you are falling for someone, give it time to get to know who he really is. Like, does his words match his actions? Does he have bitterness about his ex? Is he rude to the waitstaff? Is he pushing the dating dynamics forward? Is he patient and emotionally mature? Well, I have 5 steps, which I call rule of thumb. First, you really got to get to know him. You got to get to know who he is. And that actually takes time. And then when you get to know him, then you can trust him. And then when you trust him, you can rely on him. And when you rely on him, then you commit. And then when you commit, then you touch. So take your time, ladies, in getting to know men. Because let me just say something. Not all men are created equal. And it takes time. Let me tell you about our next guest. Evan Mark Katz became the world's first dating coach in 2003, specializing in helping smart, successful women create lasting love. He is the author of 4 books. His Love You podcast has over 2 million downloads, and he has been featured in hundreds of media outlets, including The Today Show, The New York Times, and The Wall Street Journal. It's an unlikely career for a man, much less a man who was once called a serial dater by CNN. Yet, that's what makes Katz so unique, by helping women understand men, what they think, how they act, and what they want. He encourages them to raise the bar on what to expect from men and never again settle for a dissatisfying relationship. What I love about the conversation that I had with Evan, he went from being a writer and finding himself at the age of 30, having to start over, to becoming a true dating expert. While in film school, he got a job answering the phone at a dating company. After a year of answering the phone at this dating company, he realized that he needed to write a book about what he learned. The book is called I can't believe I'm buying this book, A Comprehensive Guide to Successful Internet Dating. Well, the book did well, and he became known as the dating guy. With no further ado, here's Evan. Well, hello, Evan. Hi. I have been so excited, seriously, to have you on the show because I know that you work with women, looking for love. And just the pure fact that I just was so excited to hear your professional view of all the things and your personal view. And I kind of already introduced you, but I personally would love for you to introduce yourself for the people that don't know who you are, Evan.
My name is Evan Mark Katz. I'm a dating coach for smart, successful, high achieving women who have everything but the guy. And I've been doing this for 20 years. Author of four books, and have my own podcast and Substack channel and social media, blah blah blah. But basically, my mission on this earth is helping women raise their standards for what they choose to accept from men, so you could have a relationship that will make you feel safe, heard, and understood. And if you've gone your whole life without having a relationship that makes you feel safe, heard, and understood, hopefully you can get something in the next hour that we're talking.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's exactly what we wanted to hear. Oh my goodness, this is going to be a great conversation. Oh, I love this. Okay, so let me ask you this then. You personally, you married, what's your personal story, Evan?
I'm a writer, and I came to Hollywood to be a screenwriter in my 20s, and I came very, very close to success with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and Project Greenlight in 2000, but I did not win that contest, and I fell through the cracks. And in my 30s, I had no living whatsoever. I had no resume whatsoever, and I had to start over entirely. And so I got a job answering phones at an online dating company just to pay the bills while I was in film school. And after a year of answering phones at an online dating company, I said, oh my God, I got to write a book about this. And so I wrote a book called I Can't Believe I'm Buying This Book, A Common Sense Guide to Successful Internet Dating in 2003. The book did well, and suddenly I was in Time Magazine and CNN and USA Today, and I dropped out of film school and became the dating guy. And I've been sort of making it up ever since, and that was 20 years ago. And I've refined my business to the point where I know who my clients are. And in doing this business, in helping other people, and listening to my own hypocrisy, realizing I was not following my own advice, that allowed me to meet my wife about 5 years into my dating coaching career. And we've now been married for 15 years.
But you said, so would I hear 20 is when you got the job for the dating, the dating coach on the phone? How old were you when you did that?
I was doing customer service, getting yelled at by people on the phone, lost their passwords or credit cards renewed against their will. I was the guy getting yelled at, but I would always help people. Hey, I know you're really angry right now. Let's look at your profile. It's only like two lines long. We could make that better. I noticed you haven't logged in 3 weeks. You got to do this kind of stuff every day. So I was offering advice as a user of these dating sites that no one had ever really done before, because it was early phases of online dating before anybody was even admitting they were doing it. So
Evan, you're like the OG. You're the OG, Evan, like on the online dating. Seriously.
In that case, I am the OG.
So you changed the way that we did it. So they're going on there, getting on these calls, and you're just literally, come on, you guys, we're gonna help you out here. How did you know? Kind of was it just intuition? Was it did you have success dating before at the time? Or was it just common sense for you?
Charlene, there are many, many things I'm not good at. All you have to do is ask my wife.
Okay.
But two things I was always really good at was writing.
Okay.
Right. And flirting.
Oh.
And because I'd had success at those things, I took those two things and translated it into a different career, where I was sort of this middle ground. I didn't start as a coach for women. I was just a coach.
Okay.
20 years ago, there was no such thing as a dating coach. I was the first one. Now there's a billion people who are dating coaches. But when I started, I made up this job, Okay. And it was only by trying to answer questions on my blog, right? Mm-hmm, reader questions. I had 12 million people come to my blog in 2016, just people who were Googling things in the middle of the night. 80% of them were women. I did not solicit men.
Got it.
Men need more help. Women ask for more help. So I focused my energies on women because men are largely useless.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. This is fantastic. So you're sitting here. Okay. So this is what I thought I heard you say. So you're sitting here and you're really actually like, wow, I have a little niche. Like I'm actually helping women find, you know, their partners, like find men, get rid of the jerks. And then you made a comment like you personally. So you found yourself during this time you were single, right?
Yeah, my original blog title was Advice from a Single Dating Expert, because who knows more about dating than a guy who's still dating? So that was the card I was playing was, hey, I'm not going to tell you how to sustain a marriage, but I could tell you how to get a date online like nobody's business.
Were you able to date some of the women that you can help?
Oh, my goal was not to poach my client list. I think I did have, you know, there was definitely trouble. Being the guy who gave dating advice when he was still dating, people would Google you and read your book and be like, so are you doing research? Do you take every woman here? Are you going to write about me one day? So my wife is one of the only people I ever met who didn't really care what I did and didn't make a big deal about what I did.
She didn't. Okay.
No, she was just really, she just treated me like a normal guy instead of a dating expert.
Yeah, the dating expert. Okay. So, but when she met you, how did you meet your wife? Like, how did you meet your wife? Because you were obviously dating.
Yeah. No, I was dating prolifically. I always wanted to get married. I always wanted to start a
family.
Okay. And okay. I met my wife at a potluck dinner on a Sunday night in Beverly Hills.
Oh.
Through a woman that I dated who'd rejected me. She said, hey, we could still be friends. Come to my party. And so I went to the party basically to ignore the hostess. And in the process of ignoring the hostess, I met my wife. And the reason I tell that story is very specifically because my wife and I were both on Match.com at the same time, but we would never have found each other online because she wasn't looking for a Jewish guy and I wasn't looking for a woman 3 years older. That shows the limitations of how we use online dating sites. There's great people there and they're like ships passing in the night.
Yes, yes.
And so the more we could understand that intellectually and say, hey, who am I missing online? Maybe I should open up to guys who are 2 years older than my max, or go down from 5'11 to 5'9 or whatever those arbitrary things that you have. If you open them up a little bit, you literally double your dating pool.
That's fascinating. Thank you for saying that. That is so true. Because you meet this lady at this party, and as you guys start talking, you actually realize, oh my goodness, like we would actually not match. But then in person, you guys had this obviously connection. There was something about her. There was something about you that you wouldn't typically say. It's like my type, right? Was that kind of like what it was?
Well, again, I think this is instructive. So much of us get caught up in, and I'm not poo-pooing chemistry.
Yep.
It's that we build our whole lives around chemistry.
Yep.
The idea that you should just know when you met the one. Mm. And that is such a terrible track record. If you're single, every person that you ever thought was the one, you were wrong.
Yep.
So that should call into question that clarity, right? The clarity of passion. It's actually deception. And so I learned not to pay too much attention to that excitement, those feelings, because they were not very accurate. All they do is predict more chemistry. They don't predict long-term compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
With the person who became my wife, there wasn't one moment where I was like, oh my God, she's my soulmate. It was more, I just never got tired of talking with her.
Mm.
And all these years in, we're still not sick of each other. That is something really special and enduring that I would wish for everybody, to have a partner that you never really get sick of.
Right.
Because love, long-term love, really is more about tolerance for each other's flaws than it is about excitement at their credentials.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That was fabulous. Isn't that true? Because I'm sure, you know, often you have women that are coming to you and they're like, Evan, you know, what is it like for you? Are they like, Evan, I'm looking for, you know, tall, dark, and handsome, and he has to have this, and he has to have this, and they're constantly more talking about all this external, right? They're talking about the external, and you're like, girl, Hi, mama. Hey, hi. Let's talk about the internal. Let's talk about the other.
If anything, we need to redefine what settling means. And I know when I tell people to expand their horizons, they hear the word settling, even though I never say the word settling, nor would I imply the word settling. My guess is that if you're a woman and you struggled with men, you've settled on men your entire life. You settled on men who were inconsistent. You settled on men who were terrible communicators with anger issues. You settled on men who were selfish. You settled on men who were emotionally unavailable. You settled on men who couldn't commit to you, right? That is settling. And it doesn't matter if he's a Top Chef supermodel Rhodes Scholar.
Right.
If you're not emotionally satisfied in your relationship and you're anxious all the time, you've fundamentally settled. So instead of saying, I need the male version of me, but, which is usually most people's starting point, I need to date me, except he's taller, smarter, cuter, and richer.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So who does that leave? 0.01% of men, right? And a lot of those men, as you've noticed, are selfish, toxic narcissists.
Totally.
And then we wonder, why is it so hard to find love?
Yep.
And it's because we're pegging it to the wrong qualities instead of pegging it just to height, weight, education, income, similarity. We should be pegging it to, how does he treat me? Right?
Absolutely.
How do I feel with him?
Yes.
Do I feel relaxed? Can I let down my guard?
Yes.
Can I trust him with my life?
Yes.
Do I know he can make good decisions that and prioritize me and put my interests first?
Yes.
And that is a very different way to go about dating when we're looking at profiles on Bumble.
Mm.
So you've dated men who you're really attracted to, right? You've dated men who are really successful. You've dated men who are brilliant and intellectually challenging and stimulating.
Yep.
And I'm not against guys who are hot or rich or smart. Like, I'm not anti any of those things.
Right.
If those things come with, well, the rich guy is a workaholic who has no time for me, and the hot guy is a flirt who doesn't want to settle down on one woman, and the brilliant guy is so socially awkward and selfish and stubborn that I can't even have a conversation and he doesn't respect my opinion, well, good qualities come with bad qualities. And you have probably put up with these bad qualities under the idea that, well, this is part of the compromise of being in love. And so we pay close attention to your feelings. You use the word safe. That is a huge word in my world, right? My program's called Love You. The relationship we're looking to find is a relationship where you feel simultaneously and consistently safe, heard, and understood.
Yep.
And you can't tell safe, heard, and understood from a dating profile, from a first date, right? That is something that is consistent and built over time. Any guy worth his salt could charm the pants off of you, say all the right things, right?
Yes.
It's a performance. It's like a guy who's getting a job.
Yes.
And that's why one of the central metaphors of Love You is you're the CEO of your love life. Men are interns. Judge the intern on his effort. Does he come in early? Does he stay late? How bad does he want the job? Not just did he go to a good college? And that's the hard part, because all of us are in a society where we're constantly comparing people side by side.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we feel like we're settling because he's 5'9" instead of 6 feet tall.
Right.
Because I make more money than he does. Where if you make $120,000 and he makes $90,000, combined you're making $210,000 and you have a nice life. Like, that's not settling.
Right. You're like, okay. You're like, hey, where you got it? It's truly being able to look at things in a completely different perspective and not how we've always done things. That's what I explain. What was, like, I want women to hear this. You meet your wife, and obviously, like we said before, there was something different about her than it was for you with other women.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about her? I want women to hear this, you know, like the perspective of like men and just in general, like what was it about her that like just totally shifted for you than it was with other women?
I've got a long answer. Could you indulge me?
Let's hear it.
Okay. So if we establish, and maybe you agree, that the highest plane for a woman in a relationship, the hardest thing to find is a man who makes you feel safe, heard, and understood.
Yes.
The hardest thing for a man to find is a woman who makes him feel accepted, appreciated, and admired. Because men are about feelings. We think they're about looks. They're about feelings. Every guy has dated a hot woman and broken up with her.
Yep.
So how do I feel when I'm with you? Do I feel accepted? Can I be myself? Can I trust that you're not going to judge me and spend all your time telling me how much I suck and what I'm doing wrong and how I need to change? My wife was the only person I ever dated after 300 dates who didn't want to change me.
Ooh.
And that was her superpower. And it's not flashy. I've dated, and it's not an insult. I've dated younger and thinner and more accomplished and better
you're
resumes.
Like, you're like everything. I'm very
It doesn't matter.
yeah. You're like, I'm open.
My wife is the only person that I felt consistently accepted, appreciated, and admired. One other thing that I want to add on before I close that section is the defining characteristic of our relationship is not something that most people associate with love. And that's that our relationship was easy. We've far too long glamorized difficult relationships.
Yes.
You know, love takes a lot of work. We're working on our relationship.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. Every relationship you've ever worked hard at failed. My relationship takes effort. It takes effort to be a good husband.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like work. Work is like the salt mines. Work is couples therapy.
I truly believed, because that's all I saw. That's all I saw growing up. I truly believed that relationships are supposed to be difficult. Like relationships are difficult. Men and women just won't get along. I had no idea that it was actually, that's not true. Like, I didn't know that if you actually have the, you know, the right person, the right alignment, that no, it doesn't have to be so hard. It doesn't have to be so hard. You guys can actually get along. So I love that you're saying that. Because I think that's
people
really
need to
true.
Hear it.
Yes.
The term is the normalization of deviance. Mm. Normalization of deviance basically means we've normalized something that's broken, right? And we've accepted, all relationships are unstable. They're roller coasters emotionally. Sometimes you're going to have a bad year where you don't have sex or you don't talk or you're thinking of breaking up. And there's never been one moment in my marriage where I thought I'd be happier without my wife. Not one second. Have I ever considered I would be happier without my wife? Which doesn't mean that we're perfect, and it doesn't mean sometimes we don't get along or snipe at each other. We're human beings.
Yes.
But the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yes.
Right? What we built together is so much grander, to the point where I would be such a fool to do anything to undermine it or sabotage it or exit it under the idea that the grass is greener on the other side. And if you're in a relationship where you're constantly second guessing yourself, it's probably not a good relationship, and you should probably get out. So you stepped on something really, really important, and I certainly won't mansplain women's emotions to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In my experience, part of the reason I'm a coach for women is men are not as emotionally self-aware. Women have higher EQs in general.
Yep.
The irony is that women are less likely to listen to their emotions than men. All right. So you could be in a 23-year marriage where 6 months in, you knew something was wrong and you stay. Right. And you normalize it. I guess this is just what love is.
I guess this is how it is. Yep.
I guess I just have to eat shit and bite my tongue and pretend and suffer.
Let it go. Yep.
Right. And so I want to eradicate that. All I ask my clients to do is listen to their emotions, because the emotions don't lie. If you're dating a guy and you don't trust him, stop dating him.
Yes.
If you're dating a guy and he doesn't make time for you, stop dating him.
Yes.
If you're dating a guy who's not talking about a future, stop dating him.
Yes.
These are simple solutions, so you don't spend 1, 2, 10, 20 years on this track where all the time you've got a knot in your stomach, because that's no way to live.
No, there's no way to live. And it comes down to me. That's why also, seriously, like, I am also so passionate about helping women clear that and really being able to step into. I went off and I became a feminine embodiment practitioner purely because of that, because I found myself very much in, you know, the thinking and trying to, you know, figure things out. But I wasn't allowing myself to, as a woman, to feel like, no, Charlene, something's off. Like, stop trying to blow this off. Like, this is not right. And it wasn't until then, my own personal story. It's not about me today, but I'm just saying my own personal story. Until I had to figure that out, and I ended up leaving my ex-husband. I ended up leaving my ex-husband because I really understood at the time that when I finally was able to start feeling like something was up, and I couldn't, you can't change the guy. Like I try to talk to him and everything like that, but he had no interest in changing his ways.
Right, because people don't change, and that's the problem.
No, not at all.
Women expect men to be who you want them to be. You expect them to live up to the potential you see. You expect them to be the first 3 months when you were all lovey-dovey honeymoon phase. And how could I recapture that first 3 months? And you haven't seen that 3 months for years. And the answer is you're not recapturing it. Just because it takes you on a nice vacation and you have fun doesn't make him a good husband. Just because he pays the bills doesn't make him a good husband.
Yep.
And so I think we sort of get trapped, and then there's this inertia that carries people for a long period of time, not realizing that you have more say over your own destiny and you should listen to your feelings. And it's unfortunate that it takes that long. Mm-hmm. But once you dial into that frequency, now you will have zero tolerance for bullshit.
Yeah, you will. And you know what? And the reality is, and this is what it is. I mean, it takes time to really actually get to know someone. It actually takes time. It takes time to get to know that person. It takes time to like be around them and really see if their words or action, you know, like going with their actions, because that to me is what I know to be true. I think what's happening is that we are not allowing that time to get to know someone. We're completely always, it's just rushing into things and not just slowing the process down. Like, slow it down. What is the rush? Like, what is the rush? Seriously.
The answer to your question is that people are lonely.
Yeah.
Right. And if people are lonely and they're operating from a place of scarcity.
Yep.
It's really hard out there. Dating's a nightmare. People in my area, all the guys online. So we have this story about how rough it is. Yep. And then it's like you're floating in an ocean and you grab onto the first piece of driftwood. And then that becomes your life. But it was only the first piece of driftwood. You didn't know that there was a yacht coming along. You just grabbed onto the first piece of driftwood. And men and women do that alike. We go online. We look for someone who's attracted. If you're single, you're attracted, he's interested, now he's your boyfriend, now you slept with him, and you just double down on that. And we need to slow down the process, so we spend 5-6 weeks vetting a guy before he becomes
100%.
Your boyfriend. You spend 2+ years dating him before you commit to marriage instead of rushing in, because you said a couple things that I think are important. Number one, you talked about initiating your divorce. Women initiate 2/3 of divorces. That's not terribly surprising. 2/3 of second marriages, 3/4 of third marriages fall apart, end in divorce. Why? Because people get older, they move faster, they think they know better, and they're just making the same mistakes as they did before.
They are.
There's no advantage to marrying some guy that you met 8 months ago. Nope. If your relationship is that good, it'll still be there in a year. And now you have a year's more data to know discernibly that you're making a good choice that could last for the rest of your life, instead of saying, I got to lock this in before it goes away.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking to a lady today, Evan, and she's a single lady. And the conversation started to get into this about sex. And so she told me that, you know, she truly believes. She said, well, don't men fall in love, you know, when they make sex or they have sex with a woman? And I said, oh, my God. I'm like, it's actually the opposite. Like, it is actually the opposite. I said, man can actually, let's just say this really clearly, and that's okay. Like, a man can actually have sex with a woman and not have that type of connection. But often when a woman has sex with a man, there's a different type of, you know, bond that she has with him. And she was so confused, and I was telling her, and I want you to kind of talk about that with how men fall, because I told her, I said, listen, I said, this is what I know to be true. I said, it's not necessarily that they're falling in love. They actually fall in love with the connection, how they feel around you. And I know you kind of said that earlier, but that was the conversation. So I think a lot of women have it wrong. They truly believe that, you know, it is about just the sex. Like if they give the man the sex, is that's what's going to have them bond with them. So if you want to kind of like touch on that, that would be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this for, as I said, 20 years. I remember my wife said something sometime the first couple of years we were dating, because she listens to, you know, the things that I say and the things that I write. And she coined this phrase that I thought was really elegant. Men look for sex and find love. Women look for love and find sex. Now, again, it's not that binary. It's more nuanced than that. Mm-hmm. But as a general rule, I think it has a basis in truth. Men look for someone they find attractive, try to sleep with them, and then figure out the rest later. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with sex, and over the next month, I'm going to decide if I like you too. Where women are less likely to sleep with a guy just because he's there, or they're lonely, or he's cute, right? They'll develop feelings for him and hope that the sexual bond results in love. And so I just think that if you understand, as you pointed out, that men and women biologically are different. We don't. That's not. That doesn't mean anybody's good or anybody's bad or anybody's right or anybody's wrong. But a man could have sex with a woman he's not attracted to. A man could have sex when he's emotionally unavailable. A man could have sex with someone he doesn't care about, doesn't see a future with. Sex has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. So if you think by sleeping with him it's somehow going to cement the bond, you're going to be sorely disappointed that at least 50% of the time, that guy's never going to call you again, which is why in Love You, I say, don't sleep with any man who's not your boyfriend.
Oh! Right?
And for a lot of people is like revolutionary, and I don't think it's not brain surgery, but if you don't like the feeling of sleeping with a guy who's still active on Bumble, then stop sleeping with guys who are active on Bumble.
Ugh, I love that, because it's true, Evan, like, because we're in the business, right, of really helping people find their partner, right? Because I always tell women, I'm like, listen, if you just want to date and you are not like looking for a relationship, you know, and usually women are looking for a relationship, but let's just say that in generalization. But if you're not, then you don't need me. I'm like, we're good. Like, girl, I love you, mama, but you don't need me. You don't need Evan. You don't need us. But
if you're content doing what you're doing, if you're content having no strings attached sex and you're liberated and that brings you joy, there's no value judgment. It's if you're tired of feeling like you're getting used by men, you can't put yourself in that same position over and over again and say, what's wrong with these guys? How dare they?
Yep.
Right. Presuming it's consensual sex, if you agree to these terms and you put yourself in a powerless position, it can't be surprising that he's been sleeping with you once a week for 3 months and he's not your boyfriend. You agreed to those terms. And so if my metaphor is you're the CEO of your love life, you have to stop acting like an intern who's just hoping to get picked for the job.
I always tell him, we're not trying to make you feel bad about anything that you've done. We're really actually trying to help you find what you want, because there is a way. There is a way. There's not, like, often I hear women, they'll tell me, and I said this today to her. I was like, you can't just, seriously, you have to have intentions. You have to do things differently, because you can't just sit there and go, oh, he's coming. You know, a lot of times they're like, if it's meant for me, you know, I'll just find him. That doesn't work that way. How do you explain that to them? That there has to be different intentions when you're looking for your person.
Well, it's different intentions and it's different actions. So you start with the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. If you always choose long distance, emotionally unavailable men, you can't be surprised that those men don't pan out. If you had a verbally abusive father and have gotten used to guys who are intensely critical of you and you've normalized that behavior, you can't be terribly surprised if you continue to choose those. So at a certain point, you have to recognize it may not be my fault, these things that have happened to me, but I can make different choices in the future than I've made in the past. So Love You creates a process for people who don't trust their judgment, the way Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers creates a process for you to change the way you go about eating healthy to produce a predictable result if you follow those directions. Now, it doesn't mean you have to do everything, right? It's that there are better practices for finding love, just like there's better practices for building the foundation of a house or building a website or skiing. We can't just say everybody's choices are equal when we see wildly disparate results. So there's no moral condemnation for anybody who struggled in love.
Right.
There's nothing but sympathy. And simultaneously, absolutely, Charlene, you and I both have to acknowledge the pain of the women who are struggling with love,
yes,
where it seems like everything is horrible and there's no good guys and every guy's a player or a liar or a loser.
Where are all the good men? I hear all the time.
Right.
Charlene, where are all the good men?
But it's a subset of men. It couldn't be all men. Right. It like mathematically it would be impossible that the only good people in the world are women. Like it doesn't wash. You know, it doesn't wash. I know it doesn't wash. So if we know intellectually, it can't be that one sex is inherently better than the other across the board.
Yeah.
Then what are we doing wrong? So let's validate. Let's just say 90% of the men out there are not for you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to try to convince you otherwise. I'm not going to try to talk you into attraction. I'm not going to have you date a loser. I'm not going to have you lower your standards. So great. We've lopped off 90% of men. Now we've got 10% of men to choose from. If you stay in that lane and choose from 10% of men, the same way that if you lost your job, you wouldn't be able to get 100% of the jobs. Your lane is going to be relatively small for the number of jobs you're qualified for. That's okay. You don't need to change careers. You just have to focus and go deep on a narrow field, 10% of quality men, and then you just got to find one. That is a much more achievable goal than thinking there's no needles in this massive haystack.
Yes.
There's plenty of them, but if you've been doing it to no avail, there's probably something ineffective in your approach that someone who specializes in this could help you zoom in on.
Well, you know what I tell them, though? Let me tell you what I tell them. I'm a mother of four boys, Evan. And I'm like, listen, in my experience, believe it or not, my experience, the truth is there are plenty of amazing men out there. We're just not seeing them. That's what I know to be true. We're just not seeing them. Are there plenty of jerks out there? Absolutely. But you know what? A jerk can be a woman, too. There's a plenty of jerkettes. It's not right. So it's the same. I don't know if it's my name, Jerkettes, but it's the same thing. It is really like exactly what you said, because how do you explain to a woman that says to you, Evan, I hate online dating? Like, what would be right now if the listeners are listening right now and they're like, sure, okay, I'm listening to you guys right now. And I'm like, do you have any tips for them to like slow that down with the online dating and to have a better, you know, look about how they're doing things? What would you say if they're saying, I hate online dating?
I'd say a number of things. Now, the online dating unit of Love You is the longest unit. Most of the units are a half hour. This is 90 minutes of online dating advice, sort of best practices. So for anybody who hates online dating, I'll always tell them, if you can get yourself one date a week without online dating, you never have to date online again. I will never make you date online as long as you're dating coach, you get yourself a date a week. You know how many people have taken me up on that? Zero.
For real?
0% of people can get themselves a date per week on their own in real life.
They're like, no, Evan. It's not
because you work remotely and your friends are married.
Exactly,
and in the suburbs and dating, right, for love and marriage requires some measure of volume. You can't just hope to meet a guy once a year and hope that that guy is your guy. Like, that's not a strategy. That's like playing the lottery.
That's what they're doing. That's just what they're doing.
And so
I'm not kidding you.
Dating intentionally would be like looking for a job intentionally.
Yes,
you don't sit at home on your ass watching daytime TV and hoping the job fairy comes down the chimney.
Yep.
You actually have to be proactive about it. So if we date proactively, and in my world, that's just a half hour a day going online and talking to guys, then it becomes, if I'm going to date online, because there's no other way, right? How am I going to do it more effectively?
Yeah.
And there's a dozen ways that we could do it differently than you have before. It's not which site are the best guys on. It's what photos am I posting?
Yeah.
What do I have in my profile? How am I flirting? How am I screening? Am I using just text primarily? Am I going to a phone call? Am I doing a FaceTime? Am I warm? Am I paying attention to a guy's efforts, not just his looks? There's all these tiny things that added up make a huge difference in how you show up. And I compare it very much to the gym. So if anybody here has ever struggled with their weight, and if you're a human right. being, you probably have, you can say, I hate diets. I hate the gym. And you're allowed to, especially if you haven't had success with it. But is there any doubt that eating right and moving your body is good for you? That's not in doubt at all. So how do we take this material and make it digestible and integrate it into your life instead of saying, I'm not going to diet, I'm not going to go to gym, but I'm going to complain that I'm overweight and unhealthy and nobody finds me attractive, right? So at a certain point in time, you could be validated that online dating is challenging, right? The pool of men is relatively shallow, right? It may not be fair. There's a lot of shitty behavior. We could say all of those things are true. And unless you have a better alternative, let's figure out how to make the best of those circumstances instead of opting out of the circumstances and waiting to get lucky in love. Because I do believe, as you pointed out, you create your own luck. It doesn't, it's not, you know, it doesn't happen because you're a good person or because you pray or because you have a vision board, right? You actually have to put yourself out and go on a date per week. And if you go on a date per week and you use some of the tools that people like us give, you will find someone sometime in the next 6 months. It's math. But if you don't, you might discover that we have the same conversation 1 year from now.
Absolutely. And Evan, you know what I love? I wanted to tell women, listen, this is why I created this podcast. Seriously. Because I don't want anyone to give up on love. Because if you really are wanting that, it's available for all of us. And that is the beauty now of like anything else. If you're finding yourself like just truly like almost like, you know, how you talk about like spinning your wheels, you're spinning your wheels. You're like, I don't know. I keep finding the same type of guy. I'm not finding what I really want. That's a time, like that's an opportunity for you to don't be embarrassed. Don't like, just like you put effort in other things, you know, talk to someone, talk to a professional, talk to someone like Evan, talk to someone like me, you know, put yourself in a different place so you can get different results. Like put yourself in a different situation. And when people are like listening today, Evan, like, no, seriously, you have, it's just been so valuable. Like all these things that you're saying. And I just really appreciate this conversation. If women are like, you know what, like, how do I get to, like, how do they get to be in your world, Evan? Like, if they wanted to, you know, find you, work with you, what would be the first step?
Oh, that's really nice of you, Charlene. My name is Evan Mark Katz. I'm hopefully highly Googleable. I've got a blog and a podcast called The Love You Podcast. I'm on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and Facebook and all of those things. And I made a gift for your listeners today.
Oh, tell us about that.
So if you go to evanmarkkatz.com /love stories, you can download a free special report, 25 pages, the 7 massive mistakes you're making in dating that they're big eye openers. You'll be on my mailing list. And if you're curious about Love You, which is coaching, which is handholding, which is a curriculum, which is a community, you can go to evanmarkkatz.com/apply, watch a short video on how to fix your broken man picker, and you and I could talk on the phone and figure out if coaching is the right fit for you. And if not, again, glad to give free advice as long as it makes a difference in your life.
Oh, fantastic. Did you guys hear that? Like, that is just the coolest thing. I hope you guys literally, like, listen, go, it's for free, download it. We'll leave it in the show notes, Evan, so they can have access to that. And I'm gonna let you have the last word. I mean, like, so people that are hearing, like I said, this is all about inspiration and letting you know that love is available for all of us, you guys. I'm serious. So I hope you're hearing this, and I hope this gives you like hope. I hope you're like, okay, it's not just me having a hard time, you know, trying to find. So what do you want to say? What do you want to say to the ladies that are listening right now?
It's really easy to give into pessimism and cynicism when you have a tortured history of dating relationships and interactions with men. It's easy to think of the worst and the glass as half empty, but you know intellectually that the glass is always half full. And if you are not content with the status quo, if you feel lonely and disconnected and confused and frustrated, and you do not want to be in this position 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, it's incumbent upon you to do something different to produce a different result. Most of my clients are indeed high achieving women who've done amazing, amazing things with their life. And it's like they have one strong muscle, their career, and one weak muscle, their love life.
Yeah. Right?
But you've put 50 hours a week into your career. Yep. How much time have you really put into understanding dating, relationships, men, confidence, online dating, self-esteem, sex as a project?
Yep.
To really understand how you got here and how to get out of this situation. That's the kind of thing that folks who are professionals can offer to you. The ability to get out of your own way, get motivated, right? Love You is the gym. I'm the personal trainer. And if you're serious, I'd be honored to help you. And again, if not, I hope that you took some measure of inspiration and hope from the possibility of two people who struggled with love and eventually got it right.
Well, that was fabulous, Evan. Thank you so much. Thank you for being on. And to next time, cheers to great love.
That's a wrap. What an amazing story. How Evan was the world's first dating coach in 2003, finding the love of his life, and has gone on to helping women find true love. Wow. If you're loving this podcast and these incredible conversations, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. Don't miss an episode, because each week I'll be bringing on guests and experts who will share their knowledge about love, dating, and relationships so you can apply it into your own life. I'll see you next week. And until then, cheers to great love.